everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in wherever you're tuning in. Online, in living rooms, in Kamloops, Aberdeen, Westside, Sahali, Chilliwack, Vancouver, the world, wherever you are. Really grateful that you are tuning in this way, in this time. Just before we end the message, I just wanted to remind, highlight, bring to you some housekeeping items that are just really, really important. First things first, just as lead pastor, I just want to give a huge shout out to the KAC staff team. This has been a really interesting week, and man, we have worked really, really hard over the last 48 hours, especially to get this going. And so really big shout out to them, just kind of under their care and supervision. We want you to know we care for you. We are praying for you. If we can help you, please reach out to the church specifically. Email us, prayer requests. We want to do whatever we can. Secondly, Pastor Carlene, our pastor of children's ministry, does a great job with her team. She is going to be releasing material online for you to work with your kids so that you can continue to disciple your kids in this season as well. As we are continuing through this time, really important, Thursday afternoons are going to be the time where KAC can communicate with you. So make sure to go to our website and go there. We will have videos or written statement about just updates. Things are changing so quickly. Thursday afternoon on our website, that is going to be important. Just another reminder, any gatherings under 250 people, we're still doing. Unless the government changes that, 250 gatherings or less, we are still moving forward with. We want to be a praying church, like regardless of the season, and especially in this one, we want to be a praying church. And so our Revive meeting on Sunday, March 15th is continuing. We would welcome you there, but not 250 people of you, all right? So we want to invite you in to that. We're just going to gather and worship and pray for each other and our city and our province and our nation and our world. There is such a need for prayer. So that is on Sunday, March 15th, 6:30 here in the Ministry Center. And then on Monday, we are launching a 14-day prayer initiative. We are going to be doing devotionals online, video devotionals with prompts and stuff, so you can tune in on our website and journey with us that we want to go deeper in prayer in this season. So that is launching on Monday, March 16th as well. This is interesting and weird and cool, but the opportunity is that as you're gathering in your homes, this is a throwback to how Christianity started in people's homes organically, naturally. So we just kind of want to celebrate that in a way and let you be the church wherever you are. You know, it's interesting in the New Testament, the word for church is not about a building, it's about a people. So this is where we are reminded of the importance of a building as we can't gather, but the fact that the church still can be the church without it. So welcome to a week that changed the world, everybody. The last, you know, big moment like this, people, historians think that it was 9/11. That's when the world changed. This is another moment that has changed the world. So in light of that, everything was thrown out on the table here at the church, including our sermon series. We're going to press pause on Exodus. And are we going to continue it? I don't know. Maybe. We don't know. But we wanted just to start a new sermon series because we value culture. It's one of our core values here. We want to value culture and speak into the culture both prophetically and also to help you navigate how do I apprentice Jesus in this cultural moment. And so we are introducing a new sermon series called Disruptive Witness. And it's just about how do I go against the tide of what other people are doing. What is the difference that Jesus makes in my life right now? How do I live differently? And this is being a disruptive witness in this cultural moment. So I would love for you, wherever you're gathered, to grab the scriptures, whether it's your app or your Bible. And we're going to be looking at a Psalm, Psalm 46 this weekend. So even though you're not physically here, perhaps, I want you to stand. The Bible is still the Bible wherever you are. So would you stand with me? If you're willing and able, we stand in respect to what we're reading here in the scripture. Psalm 46 is where we are. We're just going to read the first three verses. It's the word of the Lord for us. It says this, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Lord, there are some weekends that just have a different feel to them. This is one of them. So, Lord, I pray that the words spoken would be powerful, prophetic, helpful, sensitive. It would offer the hope that we have in King Jesus. So, Lord, we as a church, me as a pastor, are so desperate for you in this time. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. In your name I pray. Amen. Thanks. You can have a seat. What we're going to do this time is just two big ideas. The first is, as I think, we can run to God or we can run scared. That's our options. We can run to God or we can run scared. And this is, I think, what we see in the Psalms. So with your Bibles open, I just want to show you around what's going on in these three action-packed verses. Here's what I love about the Psalms, is that the Psalms invite us in to dynamic realities. These are not sanitized, safe places. These are dramatic scenarios that people have written down. So these aren't from privileged people, especially this psalm. This is a diary entry of somebody who literally thinks the world is ending. If you look with me at the end of verse 2, it says, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. What the psalmist just described there is the dismantling of creation. For the Hebrew mind, what set creation up was God's sovereignty, care, and character. So what the psalmist is just describing is literally the world is coming to an end. It is being dismantled in front of them. So this is somebody writing, thinking the world is ending. How interesting for us right now. So I want to just bring you up to my first idea, running to God. Read with me the first verse. The world is ending. What does the psalmist say? God is our refuge and strength. Man, he just comes out and puts a stake in the ground in the midst of his fear. God is our refuge and strength. Man, so absolutely powerful. I just want to unpack those ideas. Refuge and strength. Refuge is all about the idea of where do I go for safety and security? Where do I go when things get difficult? And right now, our world is looking for just that. Where do I go? Where do I find a sense of peace? My parents have a cabin, and whenever we go, it seems every single time there's like a tremendous windstorm. So my parents' cabin is surrounded by massive trees, okay? So there's always that day where like, oh no, the wind is coming in, and we look up at the trees, and they're about like 8 inches thick, but like 300 feet high. And we look at those things, and they're in the air, and we're like, oh no, one of us is gonna die, because it's just this sense of this is uncontrollable, and we need to find some place to go. So every single time we find refuge in my parents' cabin, it's a place where I find safety and security. See, fear, when we feel fear, it calls out for something bigger, grander than me. It calls out for a refuge that actually works. See, if we don't have that safe refuge, fear just becomes this really terrible cul-de-sac. Because what fear does is fear reminds you that you're not in control and you actually can't be. So then fear drives us to try to solve that problem. But here's the thing. If you're only left with yourself and your own resources to solve that problem, you're caught in a deadly cul-de-sac of fear and you cannot get out of it. So God, this psalmist says, God is my refuge. I refuse to find the resources in myself for my fear, and I go outward to who God is for my safety and security. See, the reality is that something can be dangerous, and you can still be safe. Something can be dangerous, but you can still be safe. In my parents' cabin, sure, there's danger out there, but I know in here, I'm going to be safe. And this is what Christianity offers our world right now. Yeah, things can be dangerous, but here's the hope, is that as God is my refuge, I can still be safe. I can still be safe if I find my refuge in Him. So now is a time where your places of refuge are being exposed. Will they deliver on the promises you have been hoping they've been delivering on? Right? Because if your place of refuge has been experienced through travel, I'm going to leave my circumstances, my family, my work, and just put my feet up on a beach for a week, that is now taken away. You actually cannot do that. If you have found your refuge in your finances, that nice little safety stash in the stock market, you're really going to trust that over the next few months? It's being exposed, people. For some of us, I find my refuge after a long day at work. I can come home, put the kids to bed, and watch my favorite team. Sorry, not happening at this time. For some of us, man, my refuge has been my intellect. Now, what I'm not saying is that that's a bad thing. I'm a person of the mind. I believe in the life of the mind. But for some of us, we have used our intellect as a buttress against God. Oh, what is that? Here's where we're at, folks. Nobody knows what's happening. We have the smartest people in the world saying, best guess. How long? How many? Nobody actually knows. Now is the time, listen to me, now is the time where your refuges are being exposed for what they actually are. And yet, as the world is caving in, this guy comes and says, God is my refuge. Listen to me. In the midst of the fear, and we're going to get to that, but in the midst of the fear, the invitation this weekend is to put a stake in the ground and say, God is my refuge. I will run to Him. It can be dangerous, but I can still be safe. He's my refuge and He's my strength. This is all about, where do I draw my life from? Where do I get my life from? I don't know about you, but as a husband and as a father, I want the latest information. I'm trying to keep up as far as what I do, what do I not do. I saw a video this week from a surgeon about how to actually wash your hands. So I'm taking lessons about, scrubbing this. So I am so in on Twitter and all that sort of stuff. But here's what I've realized. The more time that I spend on Twitter, the more fear I have. Like, the more information I have about what's going on, the more it reminds me that I'm actually not in control of this at all. And I'm really powerless to do anything about it, but then to wash my hands and sing a song. So strength is where you draw your life from. Be informed, but do not be obsessed. Be informed, but do not be obsessed. Friends, I love the fact that we just went through a sermon series on the Christian practices. Are you going to use this time to draw your strength from binging Netflix? Or will you grow in prayer? Will you adopt a practice? Reading the scriptures, fasting and praying. Celebration even in this moment, because God has promised His presence there. Where are you going to draw your life from in this moment? The psalmist says, God is my refuge and He is my strength. I will draw my life from there, from Him. He says, an ever-present help in trouble, an ever present. See, the beautiful thing about God, especially the God who Jesus has revealed to us, is that He has promised His presence in the best and the worst. In the most joyous times, your wedding day, the birth of your first child, when you got that promotion, and in the worst, that car accident, that diagnosis, the most difficult thing in your life, God has promised that He will be an ever-present help. And for those of us who have been banking on In the good times that God will come through for us, now is the time where he will come through for you. You can bank on it. He will deliver on his promises. See, your false places of refuge and your false places of strength will be shown for what they actually are. And the invitation of Christianity is to come bring your worry, fear, and anxiety to him, and he will be your ever-present help. Intertwining his word in your life, bringing people, bringing encouragement, bringing community, bringing a different perspective, being a disruptive witness with radical hope in the midst of so much fear. And he says, in the midst of trouble. Folks, I don't want to perpetuate fear or anything, but let's just be honest. This is a very interesting, fearful time in our world. I don't want to gloss over this and just say, let's just get over it. Let's not actually think about what's going on, man. There's a lot of stuff going on. Like, it's a serious trouble. The world hasn't seen a moment like this. For us in the developed West, I think this is almost a bucket of cold water on us. Like, wait a second, like, this can actually happen in 2020. It doesn't seem like, with all of our technology and smarts and science, that this could actually happen. And yet, here we are with things being canceled and the smartest people not really knowing what's going on. So I think I just want to acknowledge this is a time of trouble. To acknowledge, I think, that fear is a normal response to this. We don't just skip over it like it's no big deal. Put our head in the sand, be a hermit, and just kind of sing kumbaya together. No, this is a very difficult moment for us. And so it was with the psalmist as the world potentially was caving in on itself. So we look at the world with a lot of uncertainty. Just to acknowledge that emotion. And this is the first idea of running to God. Running to God. The second idea is running scared. Running scared. Because of this. So notice that the psalmist comes out and right away says, this is who I'm going to be. I have fear, like things are collapsing in front of me, but I will plant the stake in the ground. And then he says, because of these things, we will not fear. Therefore, we will not fear. What a crazy assertion. We will not fear. It's interesting as you look at the commands of Scripture, all the way through. You know, the command that is used the most in the entirety in the library of Scripture. It's not love one another, although that's a really good one. You know, 300 times in the library of Scripture, the command, do not fear, is used. Wow. Why? Why is it used 300 times? Because it is the default emotion of the human experience. We live in a very fearful world. So what I want to talk about is a little bit more of fear. How do we understand fear? What does fear do? And what does fear say? What does fear do? Here's what fear does, is that fear is a dominant emotion. Everything is subservient to fear. Fear is the bossiest emotion out there. It is the bossiest emotion. Everything comes second. So as a dad, you know, we put our kids to bed. Hallelujah. They're gone for a little bit. Love them. But my goodness, they're a lot. And so we're downstairs hanging out, reading whatever it is. And then one of them will get up. Like between 6 and 10, one of them will for sure get up for many different reasons. One of them is a bad dream, right? And I know the bad dream cry. All right. So, oh no, Micah. So I go upstairs and they are just terrified about what's happened. Okay. And they're kind of in this half awake, half asleep stupor. And it's so clear to me, who didn't experience the dream, that they are completely safe. But for them who have experienced the dream and have fear, it takes them so long to snap back to reality that actually they are safe. And this is what fear does, is it acts as the boss in your life. It has to be served. It is always on play and it has to be relieved. That's the second thing. Fear needs relief. Because it's bossy, it demands your attention and your time. So we have to go out and solve it. We have to go out and try to figure out how to calm that boss down. So I don't know if you've seen it this week or whether you've stood in line this week for toilet paper. And folks, this is a great example. The fear is that, oh no, I will not be able to take care of myself. Because there's a scarcity mindset, right? Everybody else is going out there, so I also have to go out there to make sure that I have enough. So the fear is, I won't be able to take care of myself. The relief is, I will go stand in line for 3 hours for toilet paper. So here's what happened to me this week. Here's a confession. I was talking about how ridiculous this is that people are actually doing this. So I was out grocery shopping at my local Save-On, and I just wanted to go down the toilet paper aisle just to see like how empty it was. I'm just kind of in my mind, like, what a bunch of, you know, come on. So I'm going down the toilet paper aisle, and there's completely, it's empty, except for one 16-pack Charmin 2-ply. So I'm walking, and that it's the only one left. And I look around, I'm like, oh, well, if it's the only one left, I better take it. What if there's a, so I put it in and I bought it. And then I went home. And I said, oh no, Krista, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I bought toilet paper. And we already had like 600 rolls of it. It's insane though. That what does fear do? It acts as the boss and it needs relief. Right away, that's what it does. And here's what fear says. Fear says that I'm in danger. Fear says that I'm in danger. This is about that scary world out there. Oh no, I'm in danger. I don't have everything sorted out. See, fear makes us go into the future and ask that question, what if? Fear lives in the future. What if this was to happen to me? And it's a constant tape in your mind about the worst case scenario. Like, I'm talking with Kristen, and I was like, okay, so what if I get down? Where am I going to go? And how do I self-isolate? Like, we are living the worst case scenario already. And it hasn't even happened yet. It makes us live in the future. This danger makes us live in the future. And here's what it does as we're doing that. It steals your joy right now. It's the thief. See, when we think I'm in danger, it's the thief that steals today. So I don't know if you've been paying attention to the top medical officer and her updates the last few days. We've been on it. It's interesting that the last few, her name is Dr. Bonnie Henry. Yeah, thank you. And so she'll give her update. And then even today, she said, please go out with your families. Go outside. Enjoy life. Is there anybody actually listening to that? Why is she saying it? Because she knows. It's like, yeah. How do I stay alive right now? See, fear kills the joy of today. When we think, all we think is, I am in danger. It's a tape playing, a background noise in your life. Fear also says, I'm vulnerable. So danger is, there's a scary world out there, and fear also says, and I'm vulnerable. I'm not immune to that dangerous world. I am exposed. And it dominates our thinking. I am vulnerable is the most human observation and realities about us. To think I am vulnerable is the most human thing you can think. You don't have the answers. So I'm in danger and I'm vulnerable, I'm sorry to say, are the truest things about your existence. This is what it means to be a human being. You are in danger. And yes, in fact, you are vulnerable. It doesn't matter how much you wash your hands or what you do, you are actually vulnerable. See, in this way, fear is a door to a spiritual reality. Fear actually opens us up and makes us realize that there's something, someone bigger, greater out there that we need to take refuge in. Fear reminds us that we want to be in control so badly, and we're not. See, control is a myth. It always has been a myth. But listen to me, it's just this week you have actually felt it. You are in danger, and you are vulnerable. This has always been the case. See, fear and worry and control are always linked to God. Is he there? Is he trustworthy? Is he my refuge? Is he my strength? See, what we want to be are the superheroes that we spend money watching in the cinemas. That's who we want to be. That's why Avengers Endgame grossed $2.79 billion. Overtaking Avatar. Why? Because it's us as humans saying, that's who we want to be. Impenetrable, superhero-like, but we're not. We're striving for the existence we want, but settling for the existence we have. And in this way, fear, control, and anxiety is us running away from whatever we want to run away from. But listen to me, if you're not running to something or someone, it's a terrible place to be. And the psalmist has offered us hope. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. What I want to do is I just want to, for the last few minutes, just talk about how Christianity offers us peace and hope in this current moment. See, God has always wanted to be your refuge. But what doesn't work is you trying to be your own refuge and strength and him trying to be your own refuge and strength at the same time. It simply doesn't work. And when circumstances outside of us show us that we're in danger, that we're vulnerable, now is the time to abandon your self-sufficiency to find your hope in another, to find your hope in God. So the beautiful thing that I have as a Christian, even in the midst of me being a husband and a father, is that I know that my life is hidden somewhere else. That the worst, the what ifs, even though I am in danger, even though I am vulnerable, even though I don't know the future, the hope that I have as a Christian, as one who apprentices the way of Jesus, is that he has promised to journey with me in this current time, no matter how bad things get. No matter how out of control things get, no matter what the economy does, is that Jesus has promised himself to me, intertwining himself in the realities of my life, offering his presence through his scriptures and his people, through the practices, through the sacraments. And the way that I have met Jesus is through the cross. See, for me, for my whole life, I have wanted to be the self-sufficient superhero. But the reality is that I had to come to a point in my life where I said, I actually am not. That I can't be my own refuge and strength. And so a part of Christianity is to abandon that. To say, God, I find it in you. It's a switch. It's a trust transfer from you and yourself into him and what he has done. So by Jesus dying on the cross, he has come to die the death that I should have died so that I could be reconciled back to him. In order for God to be your refuge and your strength, you have to admit that you are not. And direct your love and attention and commitment and allegiance to God through Jesus Christ. So the hope that I have is in Colossians 3. It says this, Colossians 3:3. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That come what may, my life is hidden with Christ because of his death and because of his resurrection. Hope for today, regardless of what comes, and a hope for the future, that I will be with Christ regardless. One theologian says that the worst thing that can happen to you as a Christian is never the last thing. The worst thing is never the last thing. And in this way, God is my refuge and he is my strength, both today and for eternity. Man, may that be true of us as a church as we go through this time. I'll invite the band up and we'll pray. God, I think this is a wake-up call, a spiritual wake-up call for us, for Kamloops Alliance, I would say for the world. It's a wake-up call of where we find our refuge and strength. Lord, I pray for some of us who have been following you for a long time, and our security and our safety has been kicked out from underneath us. I pray that we would move from theoretical knowledge of you to experiential knowledge. That what we know in our head would move into the very fabric of our being, to the fear and the anxiety that we feel. Lord, I pray that you would soothe fear. You would bring peace to anxiety. And that we as apprentices of Jesus Christ would live as disruptive witnesses in this time. Not ignoring or downplaying the severity of this situation or even our own emotions in it. But rather we would be like the psalmist in Psalm 46 that would come out and say, God is my refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. And that would be the rallying cry of your church now. Lord Jesus, we need you. We always have needed you. Forgive us for our apathy in times of plenty. But we call out to you, Lord, in a new and fresh and desperate way, that the Spirit of the living God would descend on Kamloops Alliance, would descend on Kamloops itself, our province, our nation, and our world. Lord, we've been praying for renewal. And if it comes through this, Lord, we say yes. That your church would rise up. Lord, we would ask for your mercy too, for your intervention. As we hear reports from other countries going through all of their stuff, many more cases, doubling every day, whatever it is, Lord. Our hearts grieve. We mourn with those who mourn. Lord, we pray for hospital workers and doctors across the world that you would give wisdom. Lord, for our government officials, that you would give them wisdom and insight. They've learned and gone through school that we all haven't, Lord, and we pray that you would give them wisdom about how to best steward the people of our country and our city. Lord, we pray for those who are infected, going through isolation. We pray as you force this time of kicking out the things we normally find refuge in, I pray that you'd actively be speaking to people, that the spiritual door of people's hearts would be opened and that they would reach out to you, King Jesus. And may Kamloops Alliance play our part well in this time. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Your church says, may it be so. In the strong name of Jesus, I pray, because I do not have authority in my own to pray. Amen. Just before I finish, just a few reminders. There will be a discussion guide online for those of you gathered in homes to unpack this. For life groups that meet throughout the week, that's your discussion guide that you can go to for the next little bit. I just want to remind you, Colossians 3, 1-3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also will appear with him in glory. Folks, Christianity, always hope, always peace, bubbling up. in the midst of this time. May you take hold of it. Lord, guide us. Help us to be good neighbors, not toilet paper hoarders, but good neighbors who are thinking about the most vulnerable in our community. Lord, we need wisdom on how to live as disruptive witnesses now. So by your Spirit and by your grace, give us what we need for each day, and we will trust you with the next. We thank you that Christianity offers us a new and better story of the world, that this is not chaotic, that it is all heading to Jesus. Because I know him, I can have hope, feel safe, find my refuge and strength in him, Lord. Pray that it be ours in Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.